continue the conversation at dannymorell.com/awakenyou. So you've been watching The Higher Self for a while now, and yet I don't think we've ever brought anyone on the show quite like this. Someone who has gone through the journey of plant medicine, the journey of healing some of their wounds, the journey of healing their relationship with the opposite sex, and the journey of discovering their true purpose. I think you are going to love this episode because I think you're going to see yourself in my friend, Sarah Lawrence. How are you?
I should have brought tissues.
Wow, are you already going to cry?
Yeah, because as you're talking, I'm just like, oh my God. The amount of breakthroughs I'm having is like crazy. I had one this morning at breakfast and I was like crying at breakfast because we had awakened like 3-4 days ago.
Yeah.
And my whole mind blew apart.
Yeah.
So yeah, what was it? You said hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with that. Okay. How are you?
Hi, I'm so good.
Good.
Yeah.
I want to start with the following. How did we meet? I feel like you're a member, you're a part of Inner Circle.
Yeah.
You come to Awaken. You've gone to reunion. So I feel like you're just like, it's Sarah. But
yeah.
How did this happen?
You know what? It's so sad. So I was going through a breakup. I don't think you've even know this. I was going through a breakup and my partner had told me that he wasn't attracted to me.
Really?
Because I'd put on weight.
Okay.
And I was thinking, because you mentioned yesterday on something that you were like, I'm getting fat and I'm going to, you know, I've got to tell Jen that I'm going to have to start doing my steps. And I was like, I think if I was in a healthier relationship and my partner had said like, hey, you'd put on weight, I'd be totally fine with it. But I wasn't.
Yeah.
So then I started looking into fat burning injections, which is so sad. And then I found all these places in Los Angeles and I picked one that was like 45 minutes away. And as I was laying on the table getting these injections, it's so sad. I was like crying and like telling her my story. And she's like, you have to go and see Danny Morell. And I was like, who the fuck is Danny Morell? And then I like on my Instagram and I went and I booked the tickets immediately and just like came. And that's how.
So wait a minute. So then somebody randomly just told you about me.
Yes. So the place that I happened to pick, she had been to Awaken.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
And so then you came to Awaken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then that's when everything began.
Yes. So I came to Awaken. And then on the second day, you advertised Inner Circle. And I was like, I called one friend and I was like, what do you think? And they were like, that's really expensive. And I went, you know what? Fuck off. Am I allowed to swear?
You can do whatever you want.
You know what? This is the whole point. I don't care what you think. Like, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to be. And I don't want to, the last thing I want to do is go home and get out of this zone because everything, the amount of coincidences that happened when I was in Austin was like, you know, the Ace of Spades, you have that thing. Like, as I checked into my hotel, the lady had like an Ace of Spades necklace. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting necklace. And then that happened. And then everything was just insane. And I was like, I don't want to leave this. And so I joined Inner Circle on day two. And I'm so glad that I did. Because then on day three, I was like, oh God, I'm so glad I joined yesterday. Because today I would be like, you know.
Yeah.
And then I've been all in since then.
Okay.
Which was June, I think.
So here's what I want to ask you. You know, people obviously listen to this show and I've shared my journey with them. But you have now, I guess, been on this journey from finding us on Instagram for how long has it been? A year?
Less than a year, yeah.
Less than a year. Walk me through what has happened in the year. And first things first, I want to take it a step back. I know that the thing that caused you to come to Awaken was, you know, a guy breaking up with you. But what was going on in your life now looking back that led you to be in a relationship with a guy that was so superficial? Because that's the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he said he would still love me.
Uh-huh.
He just would not make love to me.
Okay.
So,
by the way, Sarah's a comedian. So so you're going to get a laugh here. But talk to me about family life.
Well, you know what was funny? He said, why do you keep attracting bad men? And I was like, oh, that's weird that you said that because you're one of them, you know? But yeah, family life. This is the thing I'm noticing so much all the time. And I remember I had a conversation with my friend in like 2018. I was like, I'm fine. My family life was fine. Like my childhood was fine. Like my parents got divorced. It didn't affect me. And he's like, no, you're fucked up. And I'm like, no, I'm just like, because if you're a comedian, you're supposed to be fucked up, right? And I was like, no, I'm just really funny. And he's like, no, you're fucked up. And I'm like, no. And then like 3 years later, I called him. I was like, I think you're right. I think you're onto something. But yeah, just bad relationship after bad relationship and just settling for like abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse. One time I got pushed over, which was fun. But coming from a childhood where all I saw for, you know, the first 20 years of my life was my parents like not even speaking to each other. That's what I realized, like, that was the relationship that had been modeled to me, was this, like sometimes they wouldn't speak for like a month.
Your mom and dad.
Yeah.
So now watch. I want all of you to pay attention, because you see, this is where everything starts. Everything starts for us in life. Everything started for you in life when you were a little boy or a little girl, and all you wanted was to receive love. When you were at your most vulnerable, when your soul just arrived here to planet Earth, and you were one with God, one with universal love, you drop into here, and all you're expecting is to receive love. And then these beautiful humans who we have selected before we've come here to be our parents, to teach us some things, we don't feel love. We don't feel safe. We don't feel seen. We don't feel protected. Like, thinking, and that is the cause of most of our trauma and most of why we create the life that we create. So going back, what did that feel like for you? You know, I know that maybe you grew, or it grew on you and it became normal. But looking back, what kind of damage did that do to you, to be in a home where your parents, the two people you love and the two people that you're looking at to learn about life, didn't talk to each other?
Two things. First thing, I found out, my dad told me, like, recently something happened in our family which caused him to, like, stop talking to me, essentially, when we were growing up. He was like, it was at a certain point, he was like, I just kind of left you alone. And I was like, okay, fuck, I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me that. That explains a lot. And then the second thing is, I saw I kind of realized this in therapy a few years ago. I was like, my mom kind of was doing everything, and then they still broke up anyway. So I learned that, like, no matter what I do, I can, like, keep doing all the things, which I did do, the person will still leave, sort of.
Do you understand how that reflection and that learning that your mom gave you, do you now understand? Because when we're not awakened and we're unconscious, we are literally attracting from our unhealed frequency, and we're attracting men, in this case, that no matter what you will do, will treat you bad and will leave you. Could you see the correlation now?
Yeah, it's really sad. And I also realized recently, my mom is alone, and I would tell myself, I want to be alone like my mom. Which is so fucking sad. Like, she's doing fine and she's alone. Like, I'm going to be like that. I don't need to be with anyone. And I realized, like, she doesn't want to be alone. And I talked to her about this recently, and she's like, you know, not happy. And I want her to come to awaken, because I'm like, you can find someone, but you have to fix the shit that's going on inside of you first, because she went through a lot as well.
Yeah.
And so she can't attract somebody. But also, you know, she thinks that it's too late for her. And I'm like, it's really not. Same with my dad. My dad has a girlfriend, but he's, like, very sad. And so I also, in the breathwork that we had on day 3 of Awaken this time in London, I saw them, like, both healing their own stuff and then, like, coming together and hugging and, like, apologizing to each other, because they're both very, a lot happened. Like, they were married for, like, 25 years or something. And I don't think they were happy for all of it.
Yeah.
And so, but they need to understand, like, it's not each other's fault, you know? It's just, like, I forgot the question.
That's all right. Good. Because this is, it's really awesome to hear you saying this, because this is real life. You know, this is, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of people that listen to this show. And I hope if you're listening to Sarah, you can understand that in many ways your story is her story. Your story is my story. This is what causes us to finally realize, oh my God, like, we're all here on a journey, you know?
It's funny that people think that, like, their shit was fine. Like, me, I thought my shit was fine. I'm like, nothing happened. People are out here getting, like, stabbed. Like, my parents got divorced, who cares? But it's all relative to, like, what you're going through, you know?
Sure.
It's like, and every single person has a thing that happened. Whether it's somebody shared the other day, they were like, when they were 5, they had a nightmare and they ran into their dad's room and they're like, Dad, I had a nightmare. Can I sleep with you? And the dad's like, no, get out of the room. And so it was in that moment that he went, okay, well, I'm not lovable and blah, blah, blah. And he's lived his whole life that way. And it's like that poignant moment of your life, you don't even realize, like, how it's affecting you, and it's affected every single relationship he's ever had. It's
That's crazy. And every decision that you make, it affects your money. It affects your relationships. and it affects your health because essentially when you are a child and you go to your parents in a state of need, in a state of fear, what you're looking for is comfort and what you're looking for is love. And if you get the opposite, by the way, sometimes not even on purpose, sometimes accidentally because our parents are like living their own life and going through their own stresses. But if you get the opposite and if in that moment you get rejected, then you start living from a life of rejection. And then you start creating, listen very carefully, financial opportunities to find yourself always feeling rejected. Relationships that find you always being rejected because you are the creator of your life. You just don't realize it. You've been creating this whole time from wounded energy, basically.
You know, what's interesting. I shared on a call. I said, you know, when people get broken up with or they get their heart broken, they put walls up. And then the next time they'll never love again, you know, and I've met so many people who've had like a relationship and when they're 16 to say like 23 and then they broke their heart so they'll never love again. And I was like, well, how come I've had so many relationships and I don't give a fuck? I have no walls. Every time I'm with a new person, I'm like, hey, here's all my shit. Like, I don't care, blah, blah, blah. And you go, because you never expect it to work out. So it doesn't matter because you're not going to lose anything. And I was like, fuck, Daddy.
Say that again.
You said.
So this was a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, how come I don't have any walls when I go into a relationship? I just bare my soul. And you said, because you have nothing to lose, because you know it's not going to work out anyway, because when you go into the relationship, you go, this is not going to last. And that's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
And I've also gone into every single relationship not wanting a relationship, because I've been in like a long-term thing and then finally got out and be like, oh God, I'm finally free. Like, I want to be single for a while. And then I'll meet someone and I'll be like, ah, this is fine. I may as well just do this. And then I'm with them for 2 years. And then after that 2 years, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm finally free again. And then I'll meet someone else. Like, I may as well just, you know. So I'm just in this never-ending cycle of, and then also I'm picking the first guy who's in front of me, who's the worst guy ever. And I'm just like, it's funny now because I can see people. As soon as I meet them, I'm like, oh, I'll never speak to you again. Like, it's very clear the kind of person who I want to be with or even talk to, like have as a friend.
Yeah.
You know.
That is so important what you just said, because for a lot of us, the most courageous thing that we can do in our relationship life is to set a standard, and to stay to that standard, to have so much love for ourselves that we will not allow ourselves to be in relationship with anyone that doesn't treat us the way that we want to be treated. Mm. The kicker is that ultimately, however someone treats you is just a mirror for how you secretly treat yourself.
Okay,
right? And people say, no, but I love myself. But how do you speak to yourself, right? How do you think of yourself? How do you look at yourself, right? How do you avoid yourself? This is what a partner ultimately does to you. So my question to you now is, you know, when I say that and you grab the tissue, like, that's got to resonate. Can you tell me how and why?
It's very sad to like look back on my previous versions of myself and like what I have accepted, because I would never accept that now, you know? Just, dude, like some of the shit that like men have said to me now, I would immediately stand up and walk out and be like, I'll never speak to you again. But I've stayed for years, you know, probably because that's what I thought I deserved, probably because that's what I saw. I also realized this morning when I was journaling that I always would expect the worst. This like blew my mind. I was like, oh, I would always expect the worst, because if you expect the worst, then you can't be disappointed, which is like so sad. And also, I realized that, you know, I was modeling for like 10 years. And so I was told that I was fat all the time. And I was like sent home from shoots because like my skin was fucked up and just like so much
judgment.
And I know like, oh, you know, I was modeling like, ugh, but it fucks you up. You know, like yeah. I was in China and they said, we're not going to give you any more money because you got fat. So like they didn't give me any money to eat, because they said I got fat. And I was like, and I was 20 pounds lighter than I am now.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, sick. So now when I look in the mirror, I have very unhealthy, like right now for me, this is insane. But like for me right now, I'm overweight in my mind, because I'm insane, you know, because my brain is broken. And I know that I'm not, and I know everyone else sees me as whatever they see me as.
And you're working on it.
So what happened in Reunion, I was there, October, like 6 months ago?
Hang on, let's not hop.
Okay, sorry.
No, we'll get there. We'll get there in a second. We'll get there in a second.
By the way, I had like six coffees, and I'm just like, like, and you said you're going to be late, and I'll go, I'll have another coffee. And I'm like, fuck
yeah. Okay, so I want to ask you this question. So you come to Awaken.
Yes.
Right? Which it is my belief that every human listening to this podcast needs to come to Awaken.
Yes.
For this very reason, yes. Because we are living a limited life based off of being in our limited self, mm-hmm. right? You come to Awaken. Could you express to me maybe the emotion, the aha moment? What was that thing in that first Awaken that made you see like, whoa, like there's more to life. There's some things that I've been blind to that maybe I actually do need to work on. What was that for you?
I was trying to ask you a question for ages. I don't know if you remember this. I kept like putting my hand up and you kept like not seeing me. And so then when you finally saw me, everyone around me like clapped and I was like, yeah. And I said, and I was like crying because what I saw was, you know, I'm going through a breakup. I think I'm 3 weeks out of the breakup. And what I see is a bunch of couples there who are healing their relationship. And I'm going, well, there's this like big butch macho guy who's like, you know, I never wanted to come to this. So I thought this was stupid, blah, blah, blah. Now he's breaking down. He's crying. He's holding his wife. He's like, I'm sorry, baby. I love you, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, why can't I bring my boyfriend to this? Like, why can't he do this? Maybe we should try again. And we had just done the exercise where we write down our ideal partner and I'd written like a whole page, which, by the way, I never wanted to do because I never wanted to call in a partner yet because I wasn't ready. But just doing that exercise, again, makes you see what you will and will not accept. But I had just written that down and you said, let me ask you a question. Would your ideal partner come to you with this? Come to Awaken with you? And I said, yes. And I was like, I know this guy wouldn't. And you said, there's your answer. And I was like, fuck.
Because often, Sarah, what we do is we hold on, right? We hold on to the pain. We hold on to the mistreatment because the energy inside of us, that's all it knows and that's all it expects. So what you were doing in that moment is, you know, you were trying to hold on to what your mind expected and what your mind thought it deserved, but not what your heart has been needing or looking for your entire life.
You know, it's funny. After Awaken, I went back. I feel bad because I'm like shitting on him, but he's not going to watch.
He's not going to watch this.
It was like a month after the breakup and I'd done Awaken. I joined Inner Circle, I was doing all the calls and we met up. And I was like, this fucking guy? I'm like, this is the guy? I'm like, we have nothing in common. Like, I was like, yeah, I bought the Mendy. And I was like, telling him, like, I got this Mendy. I'm like, training my brain. It's like, da da da. And he was just like, oh, this is dumb. Like, you're dumb. I'm like, okay, good. This is good. All right, good. I'll see you later. You know, like, yeah. We're just on two completely different.
But you had everything in common. You had that trauma, you had that unhealed energy. Because the truth is, and this is for all of you listening, it's on one end, I hope you can see not only like Sarah and who she was, but who you've been that keeps you attracting the wrong people. But on the opposite side, now that you have been exposed to, I saw you post something like there are wonderful men out there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So this happened, I think before I went to, so I've been in Inner Circle for maybe 3 months. And you said something like, you know, just like whatever you think is true. And my friends kept calling me and they're like, oh, I went on a shitty date last night and this guy sucks and da da da. And I started saying, stop, like, stop saying this. Like, you have to stop saying this. We can't keep saying this because everybody says, especially in LA, everyone's like, dating in LA sucks. All the men in LA suck, da da da. And my counter response is, well, you live in LA. I live in LA. I'm fucking awesome and I live in LA. So if I live in LA, then other awesome people must live in LA. Is it true that there are some shitty people? Of course. But there's also the best people. And so that's the thing. If you keep thinking that there, how come I used to think there are shitty men and that's what I got? And now I think there's incredible men and that's all that I see every single day.
Yeah.
Especially in this community, like the guys who come to Awaken and do the work and get on the calls and do all that shit, that like Keaton and stuff, like from, yeah, from Reunion, I'm like, and they're all like young, which is so cool. And to see like this new generation of people come through and like being better, it's so cool. But all I see now are wonderful men.
Because
and
your energy has changed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's, oh, you said something like, oh, someone goes, what would you do if you're in a bar fight and somebody glassed you or something? And you go, someone went up to Jen and like smashed a bottle and was like, hey, fucking something about a smashed bottle or a bar fight. And you go, well, I don't even have to answer that because that would never happen. And I was like, yes, that would also never happen to me. Like I, since I've started posting on Instagram, like my clips and like being vulnerable, like photos with you and stuff, I would expect, because what I'm told is that your comments are, a lot of my friends have comments that are like, oh, fucking die, you're a slut or whatever. And I'm like, I don't get that because I'm a good person and my energy is not like that. And I don't get sent like dick pics and stuff because it's just not. It's not around me.
No.
You know, it's not attracted to me, so.
To the women that are listening right now, that maybe are listening to you and are going, oh my God, like you're me, right? Maybe they're constantly attracting bad men. Maybe they're constantly saying that there's no good men out there in the world. What would you say to those women right now?
Whatever you think is true. Whatever you think is true. If you think there's bad men out there, then you're going to get hit with bad men. If you think there's good men, then you're going to get hit with good men. But also you can't just say there's only good men without also figuring out your own shit first.
And healing this.
Yes. Because I think it's one thing to just think something, but it's another thing to believe it and to... Because I think a year ago I wouldn't have thought there was only good men. I would also think, oh, all men are trash. I think I probably used to say that.
Yeah, you know, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
100% actually, yeah.
It's impossible for you to have a successful relationship with another human being or a partner if you don't have a successful relationship with yourself. And what we as human beings don't realize is that we are deeply disconnected. We're disconnected from Mother Earth. We're disconnected from peace. We're disconnected from love. What we do at Awaken is we curate different exercises to help you reconnect first to yourself, and then the beautiful process of reconnecting to everybody begins. And that's why Awaken is so powerful. You'll do more in 3 days at Awaken than you would do 30 years anywhere else.
I was so stuck, and now I feel peace.
Awaken has been the best thing we have done for our marriage.
Coming here, I realized that the answers were inside of me all the time.
Head on over to DannyMorrell.com/awaken now to get your tickets today.
Do you credit a lot of this new belief system to the healing work that you've done?
100%.
Okay.
100%.
And with that, I want to talk about ayahuasca.
Great.
So you have obviously drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You have trusted me, which you know I love you for, obviously.
Which, by the way, I never, ever, I was like, I will never do psychedelics, ever. Like, that's crazy.
And now you're like all in.
But the whole point is all in without tipping over the edge. Because my purpose is to spread the word without, you know, becoming...
Yeah, I get you. So what was behind that decision to actually go to Reunion, to like do the whole thing, to go for a week?
Oh, I remember.
Okay.
So I joined Inner Circle in like June.
Mm-hmm.
We have the financial intensive immediately in July. And you were like, all right, guys, we're journeying on Sunday. And everyone was journeying except me. And I was like, why wasn't I invited? Like, am I not cool enough? And then you went like, and I was like, I'm gonna journey on Sunday. And then you go, guys, we've got some spots open up. And I went, ping. And so I have no idea what to expect, right? I did mushrooms like one time, like a low dose, and went like hiking with my friends. Like, and by the way, I didn't want to do that. I was like scared to do that. So I had no experience of like an actual journey.
Can I say something? Yeah. What did it feel like to be a part of a community where you felt safe,
That's why I had absolutely no So I'm with my friends in the woods doing this, and I'm like, this is kind of weird, but doing it with you guys under a controlled environment where people I trust, people have done it before, I had absolutely no qualms about doing it. I didn't even think twice. I was like, this is going to be totally fine, and it was. And so in that, and again, I had no expectations. And I have a money block, pretty good tight little money block. And I had such a money block that I didn't even want to write down money block because I felt like it was superficial and I didn't want to like disrespect the medicine or whatever. Uh-huh. But the first thing it did was show me my money block. And so it showed me a image of my assistant like madly sending outreach emails to companies saying like, do you guys need a bar? Like I have a mobile bar company. Do you guys need a bar? Do you guys need service? Like what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Like sending this desperate emails of like, do you need us? And the message was very clear, like tell her to stop doing that immediately. You've been doing this for 10 years. You don't need to do that. If people want to find you, they'll find you. You're on Google, you're on Yelp, you have great ratings, you have great clients, you have great history. Like everything that you do is word of mouth. You've done no marketing, like you're fucking fine. And then 3 hours later, I got like a $10,000 job. And I was like, okay, thank you.
The medicine showed you that.
Buddy, the medicine showed me that.
In the journey.
It's the first thing it showed me.
See, now you guys, I'm not the only, what I'm telling you is true.
Isn't that so specific though? Literally, it shows me an image of her at her desk emailing client. I'm like, what
because
the fuck?
Because let's talk about that. Like what I always say is money is energy. Mm-hmm. So what was the energy? That by the way, that she was living in because she works for you. You get that? So our employees and our staff, they only are the way that they are because of the energy that they feel from us.
Yeah.
So what was the energy?
Oh, desperate.
Desperate.
Because I thought as well, because someone told me that I should be doing client outreach. And I was like, no, I can't do that. It's desperate. And then I was like, well, if I do it from a different energy, then it might be okay. Because instead of me going, oh my God, I need jobs. It's me going, what's a company I would like to work for? Like, let me think about it and come from it from a different angle.
Beautiful.
But that was the first thing. The second thing, as you know, so I had been doing stand-up for like a few years beforehand and I had quit for a couple of years, the pandemic and everything else, and I had quit. And I was really confused as to why I didn't want to do it anymore.
Stand-up comedy.
Stand-up. Because I was like, when I found it, I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This was the thing I was supposed to be doing all along, but I never did it despite everyone in my life telling me for 30 years, hey, you should do stand-up. Because I respected it too much. I was like, the difference between me being able to make you laugh and we know each other and it's fine, the difference between that and standing on a stage in front of 50 people who you don't know and going, oh, do you guys think this was funny? I can't do that, right? And then when I actually started it at like 32, which is very old, I was like, this is the thing I'm supposed to be doing. And I've been told my whole life, like, you can't say that and you can't do this and da 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 da. I'm like, I can fucking do whatever I want. And it's exactly what you told me. Anyway, so then I was upset because I was like, how come I don't want to do this thing anymore? And I was getting like panic attacks before I went on stage. If I got booked for a show, I would freak out about it for weeks. Like, I don't want to do the show. I don't want to do the show. I was like freaking out and I hated it. And I was like, I think I have to stop. And so I had stopped for like 2 years. And then in the journey, so this all over the place, but we're at the financial intensive. Tim's just done his like incredible speech about the finite game and the infinite game. And I'm looking at you and I'm going, oh, I want to work for this guy. I'm like, how can I work for you? And I was like, well, I'm not going to be like your secretary. I was like, maybe I can do like speeches. I'm like, maybe. And I'm like, no, that's your thing. Your thing is the motivational speech. I'm like, how can I work for this guy? And then in the journey, the message again was very clear. The way I work for you is by getting the message out through the medium of jokes because it's an accessible thing. I'm not like preaching. I'm not doing this or that. And it showed me on stage, like from behind to like talking to like thousands of people in a crowd. And I was very clearly like doing stand up. And then again, the energy of it, I'm going to cry because I'm like very grateful for it. And because I've had 6 coffees and my hands are shaking. But the energy of it was different. So instead of like, because stand-ups do comedy because they're sad, right? And it's like therapy. It's like a form of therapy, which is what I was doing before. I was talking about my ex-boyfriends, about how sad I was and things like that. And this time, it just feels so different. Like I'm doing it because I genuinely think that I can help people. And I honestly think that I can like help the world like heal through what I'm talking about, because also what I'm talking about is not just like, oh, my dad sucks and whatever. It's like I am now able to like make jokes about mushrooms and ayahuasca and healing and, you know, sharing circles or whatever the fuck it happens to be. And it shows, like, from my posts on Instagram, it is showing that it is actually fucking resonating with people.
That's right.
And I've doubled my following in a month. And I'm like, of course I have, because it's right.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
And you're being you.
And I'm being me. And there's sometimes when I, like, you know, yesterday I share the photo of me crying, and I'm there, part of me is like, well, is this a bit, like, people are going to be, and I went, no, because it's true.
That's your ego.
Exactly.
That's right.
But I'm like, but this is what I'm doing. So who gives a fuck? And also, if you don't like it, because I did notice a few people unfollow. By the way, I got like 1,000 follows, but I got like 200 unfollows.
That's okay.
But I was like, this is actually good, because fuck those people. But they're not, you know, they don't want to be a part of it. But the people who do want to be a part of it.
They're going to find you.
My God. And the comments that I'm getting, I didn't get not one single comment that was like, you're a dickhead. It was all like, thank you for sharing this. I needed to see this. Where are you going? What's happening? Like, da da da. And I was like.
But that's, you know, for all of you listening, that's the beauty of life. It's the beauty of awakening, and it's the beauty of healing your heart. When you return to your truest essence and your true self, and you discover what you are here for, when you discover your purpose, you actually discover your unique way to help humanity.
Yeah.
And there is nothing more beautiful on planet Earth than you tapping into the truest essence of who you are, being the truest essence of who you are, and that gift that you have within you helping humanity. You never work a day for the rest of your life.
I know, and it sounds like so stupid. But it's like,
it's beautiful.
I know, but I know, like, people, like, when I tell people, I'm like, I genuinely think I can help the world.
That's right.
But it's true, and I will, and like, you'll see, you know. But I was like walking along yesterday, and I'm like, fuck it, I found my purpose, you know. And it's like crazy to say that, and I'm just like very grateful.
It's beautiful, huh?
Thank you.
Yeah. So, ayahuasca.
Okay.
So then you decided.
So because of that, I went, well, Jesus.
This was so cool.
I do mushrooms one time and discover my whole fucking life's purpose. Everything. By the way, everything changed in that journey too, because I was, you know, as you know, if anyone follows me, I'm very self-conscious about being tall. I feel gross. I'm going to take my shoes off and cross my legs. I feel like gross and like, unattractive, and I don't like it. And I also was kind of in my head about, you know, stand-up is a masculine profession, and men don't like that, right? So when you do a show, it's different. Like, if you're a male comic, females are like, oh my God, this guy's so hot. But if you're a female comic, it's a little bit different. Guys are not like lining up to sleep with you after that. And also, if they do talk to you, it's very annoying because they're like trying to be funny. It's so fucking annoying. And you're like, can you just be normal? Because you're making it worse. So also in that journey, everything changed. I've started dressing differently. And I realized that like the guy who I meet, who will be like my person, will love that about me. He will love the stand up.
Absolutely love it.
And he will know that I have two fucking sides.
That's right.
Like, I am allowed to be masculine on stage. Oh, let me tell these jokes. And then when I get off stage, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like tiny, like cute, you know, I'm like a cute lady. And I am very fucking cute, like at home, you know? And so he will know and appreciate that I have two sides. So the ayahuasca. I asked Troy, like, if I should tell the story or not, because it's like, everyone might hate me. I should have asked you beforehand.
Just be you. You don't need to ask anybody.
Well, because I didn't know if I wanted to talk about it.
Well, just, what do you feel?
Well, again, I feel like it's authentic to talk about it and might help people, but I also might have, like, a bunch of people being like, fuck you. Okay.
Just talk about it.
So, night one, nothing really happened. I just kind of cried and was, like, grateful that I was a comedian, honestly.
But by the way, and for all of you that are thinking of journeying with ayahuasca, like, you know, when you say that, you say night one, nothing happened. All I did was cry. That's that everything happened because you needed a release. You get that?
All it showed me was I was so grateful for getting my job back, being a comedian. I'm just grateful, crying because I'm grateful.
Okay.
Like, and again, saying like the mushroom journey wasn't a fluke. This was real.
All part of the past.
Yes. And right. I went sick.
Yeah.
And I was also in my head a bit. I was like, oh, I'm really hungry. Like, I should get pizza. Like, I was not really. And then night two, I had an abortion when I was 21, and I had forgotten about it, and I just did it and never really thought about it ever again. Mm-hmm. And it took me, you can either get it done like surgically or you can get it done, you take pills and they tell you it's like a heavy period and it's not. And so I remember I took pills by myself at my apartment and my roommate was out. And I won't get too graphic, but you passed the thing. And it took me back to the fucking room. And I threw up. So I was on the phone to the guy asking, like, is it okay? He made me look in the toilet. Like, so it took me back to the room and I relived the entire thing again. And it was kind of like I would do it again, but it was like, this was fucked up. And you like killed a thing. And it showed me like.
You killed a what?
You killed a thing. Like you killed your. And I found out it was a girl. So it was like, you killed your daughter. And it showed, like, it took me through like her whole life, like going to school and stuff. It was like, really fucked up. And I was crying the whole time. But I didn't know that it was affecting me.
Yeah.
But that was so deeply buried, and it just went bang, look at this. And I was like, oh shit. And then and again, I wasn't gonna share. I also looked at anyone who had an abortion as like the worst person of all time. And I had two. And when it finished the first one, I went, oh good, we're all done now. And then it went, don't forget you had another one. And the second one was, it was my very last day of my cycle. I was supposed to get my period the next day. And this is what I hate, that the misinformation is out there that you can only get pregnant on 4 days of your cycle. It's not fucking true. And I hate that people think that. So this was the very last, it was like day 29. And I got pregnant, shouldn't be able to. And this time it was not the pills. I went, because the pills were horrible, so I went under. And I got an IUD when I was under. But so I didn't know what happened, obviously, because I was asleep. But it took me up like a bird's eye view of the room and it like showed me getting it. And it showed me that that was a girl also. And I have two middle names, Rachel and Olivia. And so then I named them both. And then it kind of was like it took me through my whole lineage of so my grandma like had no middle names. And so then my mom gave me two middle names and my brother two middle names on purpose. And it was kind of like, that's why there's two middle names for these two girls. And it also showed me how nonchalant I had been about the subject. And this goes back to like treatment of how you think of your self-worth, right? So I would say to men, which is so sad to say, I would say, oh, don't worry, if I get pregnant, I'll just get rid of it. Because I didn't want to make the man feel uncomfortable. I wanted, oh, don't, hey, just to let you know, like, I'm cool. Like, if anything happens, like, don't worry, I got this. Like, don't you worry. It's like, what the fuck, man? Like,
how dishonoring that was,
yeah,
to you.
Yeah. And it literally showed me, like, all these dudes. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, and
what did that feel like in that moment?
Oh, it was horrible. It was so sad. Just like,
the stuff that I've done and like what I thought was like normal and what I've accepted. And it's just crazy like how much people and like me have like changed and grown. And like, I don't recognize myself from a year ago, you know, I really don't. And I look back on that person and I go like, fuck, man. And that person had also been in therapy for like years, you know, and I only started therapy in like 2018. But and that I thought completely changed my life, which it did. And I've texted my therapist and I've said to her, like, thank you for like, you've changed my life. But even that was nothing compared to the past year. I have just learned so much.
That's why I tell people awaken is like 30 years of therapy.
Absolutely.
in three days.
Yes.
Because what most people don't realize is that, and I honor therapy, but you're only dealing up here.
Yes.
There is so much stuck down here from your throat to your sexual organs and everything in between that energetically is stuck in your body, in your energy, in your frequency, and it is keeping you from discovering who you are, and it is literally keeping you from discovering the life of abundance that you could be living here on this planet. And that's when you as a human being have to understand that the awakening and healing process is not just up here. It's not a one, two, or three step thing that you can, you know, take step one, step two, step three, and you're going to be fine. That's not how it works. You're going to have to go and experience a spiritual journey.
Yeah.
Not like anything that they teach you at church, because again, even that is up here. No, you're going to have to actually do the opposite of what this 3D world shows you. You're going to have to quiet up here so that this goes away, so that you can open your soul and your spirit to the angels, to your ancestors, to source, so that you can be revealed to yourself what's been holding you back.
Yeah, I never knew the head versus heart thing. I never knew. I didn't know there was a difference. I didn't know there was two things. And even like some chick commented on my Instagram post like, wow, I've been reading all this stuff for the past 3 years and I can't da 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 da. And I was like,
you're up here.
Yeah, I was like, you can't do anything with that.
You're up here.
Yeah.
So if you've been listening to my podcast, you know I'm a strong believer and proponent of plant medicine's ability to awaken your mind, body, and soul. And many of you have asked me where I recommend going to experience the power of these medicines. And the only place on planet Earth I would ever recommend is Reunion. It's a not-for-profit healing center with over 30 years of experience in Costa Rica, which I trust wholeheartedly. I'm honored to have aligned with them to create the Higher Self Scholarship Fund. So $100 from every booking from our community goes into this fund, and we will award the fund to someone like you every couple of months. So help me help others by using the code DANNYREUNION when registering. The link to register can be found in the podcast notes, or you can learn more by going to reunionexperience.org.
The other thing, Sarah, I want to mention is I want to mention the abortion thing. First off, I want to honor you because I know how much courage it takes to face something like that. I've been in journeys. I know those moments. And I also want to honor you and tell you it was part of your path.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Well, you know, it said to me, it was like you chose your life over this thing's life, so you better make sure that it's fucking worth it. And I was like, I will.
Yeah. What I want to mention is I've been in ceremonies numerous times where women are purging the energy of abortion. The 3D world teaches women that abortion is nothing. It's fine. You can do it once, twice, three times. You can do it whenever you want and it will have no effect on you. And I want to be careful in what I'm saying because I honor the woman's right to choose whatever she's choosing. And yet, my message to women out there is understand that the choice you are making to abort another life is going to have energetic, spiritual, and physical ramifications on your body, your energy, your frequency that is so deep that it's going to stay with you until you go face it and until you go deal it. Because ultimately what is happening is when you are making the decision to have an abortion, that is masculine, that is your mind, you are disregarding, please listen, women, you are disregarding your heart, your feminine, the sanctity of your womb. And I understand it because the 3D world tells you, live up here. Don't worry about here. Don't worry about this. Are you crazy? But when you're ready to awaken and you're ready to return to your heart, you truly can't return to the truth of who you are. You truly can't return to your heart until you clear that energy. And I've been there. I've held women's hair in ceremony where they're purging like for hours and they never realized, oh my God, I didn't realize how much pain this caused my life. And it's part of the process to heal that.
I love what you're saying, but I do also want to say, like,
say it.
It is the right decision for, so it was absolutely the right decision for me.
Absolutely.
But I did what you said, which was, whatever. Yeah, it's fine. Just, you know, and I remember I went to the doctor and I was like, hey, I need an appointment. And she goes, no.
Right.
You have to think about this for 2 weeks. And I was like, I am 21 years old, ma'am. There's no way. And I didn't think about it. It was just it's not like this, but you know, it was just on a to-do list almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I never thought about it. And that's why it was so crazy when it literally, clear as day, bang, look at this. And I was like, whoa, I haven't thought about this in 20 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's so interesting.
I think that's the fascinating part about it. And the fascinating part is that not just, anything. We make these decisions in life about anything. And we don't realize, like, how much they've been a part of us and how much they've been weighing on us, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the end of that ceremony.
Oh, my God. The coolest. So I wept and wept and wept for, I want to say, 3 hours, got everything out. It was just, again, I didn't know so much. Her was so deep in me and just wept. And then threw up for 1 second. I just went, finished the thing, sat up, went, bleh, got that out. And then it was over, right? But it was the best night of my life. I was fortunate enough that the ceremony wasn't over. So we still had about, I want to say an hour and a half. But I had done my shit, right? I'd done my journey. And so it was like, you're good. And I was cognizant enough to be able to watch the rest of the ceremony. And I saw people do hape. And I saw people take their second cup. And I saw the shamans. And to be honest, I like didn't believe really in ayahuasca like before then. Like I say in the special, I was like, this is kind of bullshit. Because the first night I didn't see anything. And I was like, it's kind of bullshit. Like, what the fuck are we doing? We're all wearing white. We're drinking drugs. We're in a dark, like, temple. Like, I'm starting to feel like, we're in some weird thing.
Right.
But then when that happened to me, I was like, fuck, these shamans need to be paid 10 times more than they're getting paid. I was able to watch, like, the care that they took with everything.
The love, right?
The sanctity. The love. Yeah. The tradition. Like, there was one point where he was doing the hape. Oh, and by the way, the care also that they take, someone's like getting sick, 3 people taking them back to their seat, holding their head, like so much care and love. And he had finished the hape ceremony. He was calling for the second cup. And so he put away all his little hape bits and then he pulls out the second cup and he starts getting all that ready. But then some girl comes forward and she's like, I want hape. And so he immediately like gets away all the second cup stuff and then lays back out the hape stuff. And I'm like, there's a fucking ritual to this. Like, this is specific. Like, this is sacred. Like, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And the glee that I had, like, I was on my stomach and I was like, ah, just watching everyone. There's a lady playing the fucking harp. I'm like, this is so cool.
It's like, it's the most magical.
It was so cool. And I sprang up. I like went to the toilet and like, as I came out of the toilet, I was feeling so full of like gratefulness and like love. And I just like put my hands on the sink and like went to like start crying again. And then Tim was like facilitating and he saw me and I realized, cause I was cognizant at that point, I realized like how insane I looked. And so I was just like, oh, he's like, are you okay? I was like, oh yeah, yeah. And I like stopped crying and I like went back in, but I just wanted to have another little cry, But it was honestly the coolest thing that I ever saw, was being able to have the medicine kind of do its job and then be able to watch. That's when everything changed. Yeah.
I had a moment like that too, because my first ceremony was the scariest of my entire life.
Is that when you were getting lemons?
Yeah. To try to cut the medicine. Yeah. But I sat there for a whole ceremony, and honest to God, I'm going to go on record and saying, you have never been loved. Mm. Maybe not even by your own mother or father, like you are loved and cared for in a ceremony.
Yeah.
To yeah. see human beings mm-hmm. take care of other human beings, which with that much gentleness,
yeah. sincerity,
there's no word, there's yeah. no word, there's no human mm-hmm. words. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've said this before, but I remember, you know, for years, because I was a cocky asshole, you know, mm-hmm. back in my day. But I remember my ex-wife used to always tell me, like, why do you always have to be the center of attention? Like, why don't you, like, you know, we used to go to church back then. Why don't you go in the parking lot ministry? And I'd be like, I'm not fucking doing the parking lot ministry.
Wait, what's the parking lot ministry?
When you help people, like, in the parking lot with the cars as people come into church. Yeah, with the fucking, like, can you imagine me doing that shit? No, absolutely not, right? anyways, but I would gladly, and I've, one of my greatest roles in ceremony, which when we go in November, is picking up the buckets of throw up and just cleaning up throw up and holding people as they purge. It's like one of my greatest joys.
Yeah.
It's one of my greatest joys. Mm. Yeah.
Can we also say, like, throwing up is not that bad. Like, I'm sick of people going, like, I don't want to do it because I'm going to throw up. I'm like, you're going to see God and you're scared of throwing up? Like, what are you, what? You're going to fix your dumb heart that's, yeah. like, broken, and you're like, I don't want to throw up.
Well,
like, fuck off.
Again, Sarah, that's the ego.
Yeah.
The ego will tell you, oh, but I'm going to throw up. And that's, it finds anything it can to keep you where you're at.
You want
to
hear something funny?
What?
So, I feel like now I have, like, a relationship with the medicine, right?
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to do it because I thought I thought someone was going to molest me in the ceremony. Like, I thought a shaman was going to come over and grab my boobs.
Yeah.
That was my fear. And obviously that didn't happen, right? I've never, like, there's no way that would happen. But there are some weird, you know, that does
happen. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you that's why I tell people. Like, if I'm telling you, it's because it's good.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's why I'm telling you, like, yeah. go to reunion. Because
yes. that's the only place.
Because there is, you know, humans are humans. But that's a place that I can put my name behind. Mm-hmm. And I, yeah.
Yeah. So that was my main fear, why I didn't want to do it. And then I was also like, well, what if I see a demon? That was also the thing. Because someone said the other day, like, there's no such thing as a bad trip. Like, if you are good, like, you're not... I was like, what if I see a demon? He's going to molest me. This is going to happen. I'm going to be in a hole. You know, I'm going to be on fire. Absolutely not. And then as I got closer to the ceremony, I was like, man, if I see a demon, I'm going to be like, what's up, buddy? Are you okay? But the last ceremony we did, the mushrooms that we did the other week. So my main fear is getting my boob grabbed. So I have these little... do you know, like, the Balinese, like, those kind of, the big eyes with the tongue?
Yeah,
those
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of,
yeah, yeah.
They are always kind of in my journeys, and they're always going like this, like, come on, like let's go. And so what happened at the start of the mushroom journey? One of those little guys who's like, come on, like, let's go for an adrenaline, he reaches out and grabs my tit. And I go, I have a playful relationship. He reaches out and grabs my tit, and I went, what the? And he's like, what now? And I went, well played, buddy, well played. And I'm like,
well, what it was doing, it was just showing you, like, if this is your fear, yeah. let's deal with it now. So now we can go have a journey.
Beautiful.
That's what it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
So fucking funny.
So we're in London right now. Mm-hmm. We just had Awaken. Mm-hmm. I want to end with this.
Okay.
Because you know I love you.
I love you too.
You know, and I, and you've now been to what, 3 Awakens?
That was my 3rd, yeah, I think. Yeah.
But seeing you on the last day,
oh, fuck.
Crying your eyeballs out.
Did you see me the whole time?
I always got my eye on people. I'm always, but watching you, like, I was like, oh, I could tell by how deep you were crying
Yeah.
Something magical happened. What happened?
So again, the first two, I was like, nothing happened. But it was preparing me for the last day where I just absolutely... So what has helped me a lot is the seeing your parents as children. So it okay. I saw my parents hug for the first time. That's actually pretty huge. I never saw these people hug, kiss, hold hands, nothing. I actually don't remember them like ever having a joke. So I see them hug for the first time and I see them like coming to awaken. And I was like, I'm going to the next time. That's why I was asking when it's going to be in Australia. Cause I'm like, they both have to go. No excuses. But I know my dad's not going to, my mom would do it, but my dad's going to be like, oh, it's fucking bullshit. I'm like, hey, this is my dying wish. Like I'm never asking for anything. Like, please do this for me as your daughter. Like, it's not for me. It's for you. And I just saw like how hurt like they both were.
Yeah. Yeah.
By themselves and by their parents and by each other. And I saw them hug for the first time and just understand, like, it's okay and I'm sorry. And they, like, apologize to each other. And it was fucked. It was so cool. And I just, I feel like this last one really, like, blew me apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned so much just in the past few days, like, journaling and stuff of, like, my things. Yeah. You know, that I'm whatever I think about myself, and seeing my dad as like his woundings is very, very helpful to me.
Yeah.
Because it's not his fault. And then I had this whole other mini journey within that after they hugged of like this poor guy, like he wants to be loving. He doesn't know how to.
That's right. That's right.
And that was like huge. And then I cried for him because I was like, this poor guy is going to die and just be so sad and angry. And I don't want that for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, we'll get him to awake.
I think. Oh, and then so I wrote. Essen was like, "Why wait till it goes to Australia?" And I go, "Okay, bitch." I go, "Dad, what are you doing in July? Come to LA. I have the fucking hotel room. Just come to LA, man.
Just come."
It'll
happen. It'll happen. It'll happen.
Yeah.
Final thoughts for, you know, this has been 9 months of cracking that hard shell, breaking down all those barriers around your heart, so much so that you are now sitting here, you can't stop crying, which is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing because you're just releasing, you're just purging, you know? Final thoughts for you, what has this journey been like? And then final thoughts for the people that are out there listening that maybe all they've done is listened every week, and what would you say?
I just don't know why people don't want to work on themselves. This was a big thing in my past relationship. I worked on myself like this and this person did nothing. I'm like, go to therapy for 1 hour, just do something. But I'm like, how come it's my life's work to be the best version that I can be and you don't give a fuck? It's baffling to me. It's baffling to me, the people who go to Awaken and don't sign up. It's baffling for me but again, I was there. By the way, I was a troll when I was like 21. I was like, fuck yeah, you know? I was doing that. And I'm like, I loved it. Like, I loved it. And so I get why people are doing it and they're not ready to, but it's like—
That's okay.
At a certain point, the best thing that happened to me was at a certain point when I went, oh, it's my fault. And I was talking to someone else about that, and they're like, you're a victim blaming. I'm like, no, how about this? I've never been cheated on. If you're someone who you've been cheated on every single relationship, you've had 10 relationships, you've been cheated on every single one, that's your fault. Like, does that, and that's also triggering for people, but I don't think I'm going to get cheated on. I have no reason to be cheated on or to cheat. But this person who's been cheated on 10 times, there's not a correlation between maybe it's you're doing it to yourself, right?
Maybe there's, yeah.
And so it's my fault I've been in bad relationships. And like with Inner Circle, like, oh, I've told someone before about Inner Circle. I'm like, yeah, so I'm trying to explain the value. I'm like, we have 4 retreats per year. We have 4 events that are open to the public. We have like 4 or 5 calls per week. And they're like, 4 calls per week. Like, that's so much work. I'm like, bitch, what the fuck else are you going to do but work on yourself? I'm like, I love the fact that there's 4 calls per week. If I signed up and you said, we'll see a month once a month, yeah, I'd be pissed off. But the fact that I can get on a call every single fucking day, like we had the relationship thing yesterday with Renee, and I'm reading through like what she's saying about like skills that we should all have, like listening, waiting till the other person's finished talking, da da da. And I'm reading through it and going, this is why the relationship with my brother has healed. Oh, this happened on Saturday. My brother writes big paragraphs. And I don't read them. I'm like, shut up, stop talking. And then he'll write another big paragraph. And we were getting fights all the time. And I'd be like, shut up. And then for the first time, we kind of healed our shit in December. But so now I approach him completely differently. And as he's writing a paragraph, I had already said, hey, I heard you. What am I not saying that you need to hear? And then he said, well, I need to feel understood. And so when you say this, it doesn't make me feel understood. Mm. And I go, that's so interesting, because when I say heard, that means I understood. Mm. But you don't get that. But I worked in a bar for 15 years. Heard means I understand. So heard for me, all you need to say is heard, got it. But for him, heard doesn't give him that validation of, hey, I'm listening, I understand, you're right, whatever the fuck.
Right.
And so in that moment, the paragraph stopped. I changed my thing. I said, okay, cool. Here's my new response. I understand you. You're right. I'll do X, Y, Z.
That makes complete sense.
Yes. And these were the slides that Renee was showing us. And I was like, fuck, this is exactly what I've been doing now since doing this. But yeah, I mean, we're all going to die. It's like, do you want to die sad? Everyone has their shit. Everyone has their shit. Whether you grew up with money or this or that, everyone has that story where your teacher told you you sucked, or your dad said, get out of my room, or that little story that has affected your whole life. It's like, why don't you want to work on that? It's baffling to me, but everyone will get there in their own
time
or they won't.
That's right.
But
and that's all
what
okay.
We're here to do.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You have a YouTube comedy special on ayahuasca.
Yes.
Which I think it's hilarious. Where do people go to see that?
So it's YouTube. I think you're going to put it on your website. That's what Troy said.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So it's go on to the Danny Murrell. You did this. Yeah. Thing. Go on DannyMurrell.com.
Go wherever the show is, and in the show notes, we'll
click
do that.
Down here. Yeah. It's called Plant Medicine. And so it's all about my first mushroom ceremony, why I am the way that I am, why I'm insecure, why I feel like shit, why I think I'm ugly, all that kind of stuff. Goes into the first mushroom ceremony. It goes into the ayahuasca thing. It's supposed to be relatable. And it's for people who are like, know about plant medicine, and also for people who don't know about plant medicine and are curious and want to hear it from someone who's not like, you know, vibrating on another fucking cloud or whatever.
A normal human.
A normal person. Yeah. Yeah.
And how do they find you on Instagram?
It's the Sarah Lawrence, Sarah with an H.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. That wasn't that bad, was
Yay.
It? We did it. Thanks for watching this week's episode of The Higher Self. As always, if you feel called to go sit with the medicine, go to reunionexperience.org. Tell them we sent you. A portion of whatever you put towards your journey goes into a scholarship fund for underprivileged people that we want to eventually help get to sit with the medicine so they could eventually meet and sit with themselves for the first time.
I also have a thing on the Reunion YouTube page. They did like a little story. It's called Sarah's Story. If you put Sarah's Story and Reunion Experience,
you can watch it.
Yeah, they can watch. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Cool.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.